So hello. I am very excited today because I have with me a guest that I've known for quite some time, and her name is Sarah Grandinetti, and she's an amazing facilitator. I have taken her classes personally and love them. So welcome, Sarah. How are you this year?
I am fantastic. Thanks for having me, Erica.
Yeah, I've watched you. It's so wonderful when we have this gift of time and we see people kind of morph and grow and change, and it's just really been exciting to watch you kind of step into your sort of massive capacities. Maybe just for people who are, I mean, I'm kind of being nudged to ask is if someone feels kind of stuck or like, bored is not the right word because I don't even think we know people who are bored. But like, if people have a sense that they're sort of, like being on that wheel where they just keep doing the same things again and again, what sorts of things show up for you to help that with?
A life on autopilot, as you describe. Yeah, I found myself there probably about 9 years ago now. And when we first met, I was like just starting to get out of that and see what else was possible for me. So if you find yourself there, first thing to do is don't judge what you've created so far. It's so easy to go, I'm not happy or I want more, and then go into the judgment of what you've created or what choices you've made that have gotten you there. And judgment only like slows us down and keeps us from creating change as quickly as we actually are capable of creating it.
Yeah, that is
So
so true. I think of like some of the creations that I've built that got to like the 25th, round of the 26-mile marathon.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, this stuff doesn't work, you know?
Exactly. And the judgment is like ankle weights, like if you can sprint that marathon, you won't be able to if you're judging yourself. So starting there and then really starting to ask questions like what else is possible I've never considered and allow the childlike wonder that we used to have. Like when we were little kids, people would ask us, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it was like a world of possibilities, and there were no limitations of what you couldn't be. You just were willing to dream and look at that and to start asking questions from that place again, will start to open doors and you start to become aware of like the things that you could be choosing that the autopilot just kind of didn't allow to fit in your life anymore. And then you start choosing more of those things.
I was very curious because, and I don't normally start podcast interviews with this, but I was pretty astonished by your website. You have so many offerings. It's so juicy. It's like alive. And I just wondered, like, kind of tell me a little bit about that process of how you choose which things to offer and how you come up with these crazy ideas.
I love that you're calling them crazy because years ago I'd have been like, what? And now I'm like, yes. Yeah, it's generally we choose topics. Like I have a fantastic team that has built over years and they're just all really awesome creators. And we look a lot about like either what's coming up in the classes that I'm doing now to like what people are asking for to create the next class. But a lot of times it's about like what's up in my own life. And what I know now, Erica, is that like I used to think I needed to go get facilitated when something was up. And what I know now is when I facilitate a class, I become so much more aware of what I actually know about that I've been pretending I don't know. It's kind of like, cleaning
I
your own
love
closet
that.
out. Your own closet is like rough to clean out, but when you're like helping a friend clean out theirs, it's like, yeah, this looks good. This doesn't. Let's toss this. So when I'm facilitating a class and I can look through the eyes of everybody else and receive their questions, it like puts me into way more question about what I'm choosing my funk over or whatever thing that I'm walking through.
That's interesting because I have one client right now who's like in my third eye, I can see all these things she can, well, and she does too. Like she sees all these things she can create. All these, for her, it's like little I don't know, you call them like inventions, like how to farm better, like interesting creative inventions. And as I'm looking to help her, I feel like it's so interesting compared to if I'm like, in my own mess. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. 100%, yeah.
So one of the things that I'd like to ask you about, since we have you here in this beautiful finite space, so coming into this next year as kind of a woman entrepreneur or someone who's really going to be creating some amazing things, what are some kind of things you can share with my audience to really expand what they thought they could do? Because it seems like it's time really to just bust out of being small.
Yeah, that's an awesome question. Well, for me personally, I started to talk to my business in a different way, and I was inspired recently by Simone Melissa. She's an Access Consciousness certified facilitator as well, and she was like, "Why is there's no reason why your business shouldn't be a $1 million business?" And I was like, "Yeah, like why?" But not that my business isn't generating more each year and each quarter, but it's that I've been playing in these the percentage of possibility has been small when I've been looking at the one quarter to the next, rather than what am I actually asking my business to create and how am I engaging with my business as an entity that would like to contribute back to me, would like to play with me in a totally different way. And what I've started to do with that is like be in a different demand, be in a different presence, and then calendar. Like, so if I could give anybody a tip that if you're feeling stuck and you don't know what the future looks like and you don't know how to get to where you want to go, well, put it on the calendar, what it is that you want to create, and give yourself leeway and time to create it, like 6 months out, 3 months out. Starting to play with my calendar in a different way started to show me all the places where either I'm not creating to full potential or what else is possible that I hadn't considered. A lot of places where I was choosing like to end a creation when a creation could continue, meaning like I'm traveling across the world for something, and while I'm there, why am I not creating something? You know, like asking different questions and looking from a different place will open up different possibilities.
What I think is really interesting too is this sense of like, because I look at your heritage, like you did hair, like you had such a practical role. Like, and I wrote for newspapers. It was very similar if you think about it. Like, I'd get jobs and I'd do them, right? But with the capacity of like intellectual property and making workshops and making courses that can keep going without our bodies, maybe just tell me a little bit about that morph, because it seems like you've been able to do some of those things just really beautifully. And then that also makes me want to ask you about your membership, which I'd like you to just share what that looks like for people too.
Well, it's so interesting. Our bodies are such a gift in creation, and I think a lot of us just drag our bodies to our job and never engage them. So my body was such a gift in owning a hair salon for 15 years here in Los Angeles and contributing to people and their beauty and their bodies, really. But for me, it was like I always knew that there was something else that I was put on this earth for. And while I got to tap into that as a hairstylist, inspiring people, having conversations that changed their world in the 2 hours that they're in my chair, I knew I desired to create that on a greater scale. And so, as far as like creating passive income is kind of what I hear you talking about. I'm asking so many questions about that myself right now. And I know that you're like pointing to my website. And one thing that I've learned as a creator is if we can take one piece of content, so say I do a class online, if I can take that piece of content and create 10 more streams with it, then I'm not having to work as hard. My body doesn't have to do as much. So it's taking a Zoom, putting it online, selling it after the fact, and then also clipping things, creating graphics from it, memes, inspirational quotes that came from that class, and continuing to not leave any possibility on the table with every creation.
Well, and you know what? I just got chills when you said that, because when you pull a little piece out of something and you say you make that into a little video, like you take a little audio clip and you make it a little video, and there's all these tools to do that, right? It actually then reaches different people. Like you can help. I put one piece of content. It was a podcast interview a couple months ago with a wonderful woman. I made it into a little video, and I put it up on one of my video thing on my happiness quotations, I don't know, Facebook page, and it got like 750 views.
Wow.
It was just one little tiny piece of this one woman talking about decluttering. A nice topic, but she comes from a really beautiful place from her spiritual selves. But the thing that I thought was so fascinating is like it didn't require getting more content, or it didn't require writing a new book. Like it just meant picking out something beautiful from like a whole field of roses and picking out that one that's really singing. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. And those 700 people who view 750 people who viewed that received change in a different way than, like, if they aren't podcast listeners, you know, they might not listen to a whole conversation, but have that dandelion
Yeah,
seed sprinkled into their world
yeah,
that, you know, I always
yeah.
say, you know, we're here to sprinkle seeds of possibility, but we don't have to stay in one place to water them and make sure they grow. That will be watered by the universe, by other people contributing, by other awarenesses someone's willing to have. But if we're willing to sprinkle the seeds for people to know there's possibility, then we're doing the work and we're changing the world.
Okay, so I have to ask you this, and I think it's just showing up for me, like. It's going to sound a little crass, so BFD, but you don't seem to mind charging for things. Like, it seems like my upbringing, because I was a writer born of writers, you know, and there was this whole like, the journalism ethic is not really selling things, has kind of a, it kind of stinks. Does that make sense? Like, just in the culture that I was raised in, not in my current being. It seems like you're just like so cool with it. And maybe just tell any entrepreneurs who are listening who are also spiritual, like how to get over that sense of fear of charging, or you know what I'm asking?
Yeah, I totally do. And I still have that show up in my world at times. So I am not completely on the other side of it. I just want to be completely transparent with your listeners. But so I'm an access consciousness facilitator, and I get to listen to Dr. Dane here and Gary Douglas, who are the founders of Access Consciousness, talk a lot about this. And one of the things that has just always stuck with me, so anybody out here who is like a healer, a spiritual worker, you know, anybody out there that's creating something different on the planet, I'd love for you to lower your walls and barriers and receive this one. You say, like you said, it might sound crass, but I'm going to say it.
Exactly.
How different would our world be if those that were seeking change and possibility for all had the money? And my willingness to receive from what I be has changed dramatically from just taking that in, because, you know, it's one thing to go into the fight of like, you know, damn the man who is the man who's saying no, who has all the money, or who is creating these problems on the planet, or not, you know, not looking for a sustainable living earth, or not caring about people and their human experience. Well, you know what? If we all stay poor, all the change makers stay poor, we can't make the change in the planet on the planet that we'd like to have. And
Think of all the horses I could rescue.
exactly. And just the generosity of spirit in general, like how many people would you desire to gift to and contribute to them having change and possibility in their world if you had the money for it? And, you know, I've been blessed to be around Gary and Dane and their generosity and how that has absolutely changed my world. And I'm like that. I want to be that. And I want to walk through the world having that as the gift that I can be. And I can't do it if I'm sitting here, you know, angry at everybody else for having the money, not willing to create it myself, not willing to receive it myself. And truth be told, the more that I open up to that space, the more people show up who are like, yes, of course I want to pay you. I mean, I remember back when I first started as a facilitator, I was like, no one's going to pay to talk to me in a private session. Like, that's insane. You know, I do that for free. And I have this very interesting point of view that I used to say all the time about hair, which is I love it so much, I do it for free. And so I was constantly taking my capacities and my talents that are uniquely mine and giving them away for free as almost as like a superior point of view, like, oh, I can do that. And so the idea that someone would want to pay me for my contribution just to talk to me was wild at start. And I priced myself so low that I never got sessions. So I got to like prove my point of view to myself. Like, that's what we do.
Right. Because it's like, if you price yourself too low, then people just don't want the service.
Exactly.
Like they're
exactly.
Like, well, I would never hire someone who charges that little. Like, yeah, it just would never work for me because what I want is massive change. And so, right. So,
yeah.
Then,
and in this reality, yeah, the idea is that if you want something massive to change, you have to pay a lot of money for it, which is not totally true, but that's the world we're living in, where people value the things. You know, I, as a hairstylist, I was working on one side of the town, and that the salon was charging $500 for the same haircut that when I opened my salon in the other side of LA, I was charging 150. And it's just because perceived value. So yeah, like playing with that to your benefit. And then what I was going to say is that, you know, when I was priced so low, I was getting no sessions. And then someone's like, you know what? No, you need to put your price up. This is ridiculous. So I did, clenching my ass cheeks the whole time. And all of a sudden people started booking. And then from there, I was just recently in Dubai, and someone came to me and said, hey, someone wants a private session with you. How much do you charge? And I gave my hourly, and she's like, oh no, 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 that is way too low. And so she's like, I'm upping it, you know? And then multiple people signed up for sessions. And I was like, this is wild. And it's because everything that we've been entrained to, our points of view around money are so solid that we make things so real, even though they actually truly aren't.
And you know, that just reminds me, that whole conversation was really light. And it just made me feel like it really doesn't matter that much. It's like, if you ask a little bit more about like, what's light or what feels good. Like for me, I know if someone hires me to create a podcast for them, there's a price point below which it's just not fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there has to be a certain price point. And to be honest, it varies depending on how much they want from me. But exactly, below a certain point, I just can't enjoy it. It's really interesting. And so when I say my price, I just say it. And if it's not good, it's like, okay, cool. Like, okay, cool. Like, we aren't, I don't know. There's this thing that sort of shifts when you let the thing price itself versus like that whole, I don't know. It's like putting a massive clamp on what it should be based on everyone else or something, you know?
Totally. And a thing to add there too is that, you know, in Access, we talk about 10 second increment choice. And if a choice is only good for 10 seconds, then you're always free to change your mind. And excuse me. And I've done like market research with classes. So like right now, two days from now, I have a class on the books for $9 because there are people out there that, you know, aren't ready to dive into a $2,500 class. So they'll choose a $9 class. But I also have classes that, like I said, are $2,500. And so I play around with that a lot, not making any one thing solid, because there are different markets out there that you can reach if you just are willing to play and not think you have to choose it and then choose it forever, you know?
And then in that $9 group, in that $9 group, you have this like people who will just tap in and then become like client for life type person.
Yeah.
Right. Like then you'll have the people that just say yes and then say yes and say, well, I don't know what you're going to offer next, but.
Yeah. And you know what? There might be $9 players, you know, meaning $9 clients that stay $9 clients as long as I'm creating $9 classes. You know what I mean? And so if I didn't have a point of view of even the conversion, what gift can I be for people who are only willing to spend $9 for change? You know, it's like, it's really letting go of all the points of view, what you think it has to look like, what it should look like, what's the right way, what's the wrong way. And then just go, what would be fun for me? you know, and I love that you said the podcast thing, and there's a number, you know, that you're willing to charge that'll make it fun for you. When I was owning a salon, when I owned a salon, till just a few years ago, I hated rolling perms. I wanted nothing to do with perms, but I was one of the only people in my salon that like knew how to roll a perm. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to charge $1,000 for a perm. And if someone is dumb enough to come in and pay me $1,000 for a perm, then I will do it. And sure enough, people showed up. Now it wasn't like weekly, but I rolled about $3,000 or $4,000 perms. And it was absolutely fine and fun for me, even though they could get the same little perm down the street for $50, you know?
I have to tell you a funny hair story. A few years ago, I wanted extensions, and I think I paid $1,500 for extensions, and I could have paid like $395, you know? And I went and looked, and I wanted certain things in my extensions, and because I had hair all the way down to my butt for a while. It was so fun, Sarah.
That is awesome.
It was the only thing my son. Oh my gosh, my son was in high school, and they're grown now, but he was in high school, and he goes, "Mom, the only thing is looking at you from the back, I can't tell how old you are. Like you could be."
His friends are checking you out. That's amazing.
But I have to tell you, that was a really fun experience. I really enjoyed my journey to extensions.
I have a firm belief that every woman should experience long hair at least once in their life.
Yeah, it was so good. And now it's short and curly, and I'm happy with that. But it's pretty fun. Let's see. Let's have you share like something you'd really like my audience to know about your business. Like if they were coming to work with you, like just tell us more about like what they might come to you for, or what you like to help people do.
Oh, that's awesome. And I love the way you put that as an interviewer. Thank you. I'm stealing it. I have a podcast too. And so I'm also
awesome.
Yeah. So I am an Access Consciousness certified facilitator, and I get to facilitate classes with these amazing tools that get you to look at the energies that you're creating your life from. So, the tools are basically learning how to ask questions to access the awareness of the energy. A great example that I give people is like, when you're a little kid, there's an energy around money that someone may never speak to you about in word, but an energy, you know, you very well know when mom or dad were stressed out about money, when there was an abundance and when there was a lack, when you were allowed to ask and when you weren't. And right. That is just something that is energetically taught. Now what happens is, because that's your first interface in this reality or in this lifetime with money, you take that into your own world, and either you want to outcreate it, so you want to fight it, or you align and agree with it, and you have the points of view that your parents had, which is, you know, I have to work really hard, or I have to do a 9-to-5 job, or even, you know, I've got to get this degree or that degree in order to earn a living. And you stop asking questions about what's true for you. So that's just one example. So basically these tools start to get you to dig in, get vulnerable, and look at, hey, you know, what am I choosing here that like that autopilot life hasn't, I'm not aware of anymore, that I'm even choosing it or creating with it. And so we have lots of fun, different tools to pull back the layers on that stuff and start to give you clarity around what you actually would like to create from the energies of things. So coming into my business could look like, you know, doing one of those $9 calls. I just did 7 days of Facebook Lives in a free group that will perpetuity of seven
How
different tools.
That?
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
And I get to
maybe we can find a link to that. People can see that on sure. If they want to join your group.
Yeah, easy. And then so then I do classes around the world, and there's different, you know, varying levels of classes, but basically it's all centered around this body of work of Access Consciousness. And I have a monthly program that's $77 a month. We get 4 different calls. One around parenting and unparenting, which is a topic I'm really passionate about. And one about around being you. One call is a visualization journey where it's kind of like a guided meditation where we go back in time where we bottle these points of view, kind of like the money one that I spoke of. and we kind of unlock it and we become aware of it and we unlock it. And then one that we call rapid fire clearings, where we get on and we just run a bunch of energetic clearings to just kind of move stuff around in our worlds and give us more awareness.
Well, I think one of the fun things that I enjoy about when you're teaching a live course is that even if there's say 50, I don't remember how many people on the last one, but it was a pretty big group, and it still had the energy of one-on-one. Like you were able to go from one-on-one to one-to-many in a really, it was an unusually helpful way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thank you. I'm receiving that and it's melting my world.
Yeah, because I think one of the things a lot of coaches and women entrepreneurs struggle with is that they're very comfortable with one-on-one and then they get kind of lost in a group setting.
Yeah. Well, okay. So if we're going to talk to them for a moment, I'd love for them to open ears, but don't go to wrongness or judgment. So if you're aware that-
There we go again, right? It's okay if you're one-on-one. Love the fact that you crush it one-on-one.
Yeah. And also, but look at what you be one-on-one and acknowledge it. And from there, how do we expand it into one on 50? And to me, it's just changing your perspective slightly. When I have 50 people or plus in a class, I have 50 one-on-one sessions going on. I don't have 50. I have 50 one-on-one sessions. And so, and that's really what this body of work does, is like, it opens you up to all the energies. And so if you could have all energy flows running through you at the same time, then you can connect to as many people as is required or that you choose. And some people require you to like, it's funny. Some people want you to be really present. Other people are, when they walk in the room, they're terrified and they actually want you to ignore them, which is weird. But they're like don't.
Yeah, no, totally. They want to be, they don't want you to single them out. They want to, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. And so, and that's not wrong. It's just like they need, some people need to like have a day or so, if it's a 4-day class, to like warm up. And so
that's
being willing to be aware of the energy is like, okay, I'll walk into a room. I often like will enter a classroom and pretty much just go hug everybody. And that'll melt just to something. And then, but then the wallflowers who want to remain wallflowers for a day or so will stay on the wall, but I've engaged them. And then I allow the energy to just flow between us. What gift am I and what gift are you? And what gift is it that we get to be here together? And then, little by little, it's so interesting. I just had this class in Mexico City and there was a woman who I was just flowing energy to, but she wasn't saying much. And I wasn't directing anything like at her, laser beaming her in any way. But I just kept the flow. And after the third day of class, she sat up on this table with big tears in her eyes and just melted into this puddle. And she's a woman who had a larger body. We were in a body class, had been judging herself for years. And she sat up with big tears in her eyes and she's grabbed the mic and had not said anything for like 3 days. And she goes, "This is the first time in my life I feel beautiful." And she said, "Thank you so much." And, you know, and I dove off the stage and I went and just gave her the biggest hug, but we hadn't shared any words before she had that melting. And it was because I wasn't needing anything from her. I didn't need her to validate me with a question or with, you know, being a good student, nodding in the front of class. I just desired her to get to be and just be and be her, and I'll be me. And then we'll see what can be created.
Oh, Sarah, I mean, I feel like we could just talk for hours, but podcasts are finite. Yeah. So why don't you tell us how we can reach you and find out more?
Yeah, the easiest way to reach me is www.sarahgrandinetti.com.
And let's spell it for people. S-A-R-A-H.
G-R-A-N-D-I-N-E-T-T-I.
.com. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Erica. Very grateful.